Welcome to the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com, your daily morning podcast, updating you on everything you need to know to win your fantasy baseball league. Here's your host, Jake Crumpler.
What's up, fellow fantasy managers? Welcome back to another episode of the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. My name is Jake Crumpler, and it's the weekend, so as always, I'll be taking over for Bubba as the host of the weekend editions of the podcast. You can follow me at Jake Crumpler on Twitter and can find all of my work at CrumplerBaseball.com. Let's dive into everything baseball related from Friday, April 19th. We'll start it off, as always, with the transactions, injuries, news, and notes from around the league. Our first IL placement is starting pitcher Kyle Freeland, who landed on the 15-day IL with a strained right elbow. Freeland will avoid a significant stint on the IL as the injury is to his non-throwing arm. Though it was completely avoidable, Freeland injured his elbow during a home plate collision while performing pinch running duties. For some odd reason, that's the Rockies for you. The southpaw should be able to throw during his time away from the field, and he shouldn't be out much longer than the minimum of 2 weeks. Right-hander Noah Davis was recalled from the minors in a corresponding move. However, Peter Lambert is likely to shift to the rotation to fill Freeland's vacated spot. Starting pitcher Ryne Nelson landed on the 15-day IL with a bruised elbow. Nelson was forced to exit his start on Thursday in the second inning after taking a comebacker to the arm. It sounds like he should be back in a couple of weeks as long as he doesn't face any setbacks. And Jordan Montgomery took his place in the rotation, but Nelson should still have his job when he returns, as Eduardo Rodriguez has faced setbacks in his recovery from an injury. In terms of transactions, designated hitter Brent Rooker was activated from the 10-day IL. He missed the minimum amount of time with a costochondral cartilage injury. Rooker was on the bench in his return to the team, which could hint at his new role being on the short side of a DH and outfield platoon with either Lawrence Butler or Seth Brown, or maybe both. Relief pitcher Trevor McGill was activated from the 7-day concussion IL. McGill wound up missing 3 weeks after suffering a concussion caused by a fall he took after fainting during a bout with food poisoning. Yikes. With the Brewers bullpen in flux, McGill will slot right into the closer committee alongside Abner Uribe and Yoel Piamps. If McGill can display the skills he had in 2023, he has a legitimate shot at claiming the closer role for himself. After just one start, starting pitcher Jack Leiter was optioned to the minors. He struggled in an unlucky debut, but the right-hander still exhibited a major league caliber arsenal. Owen White, the team's number 9 prospect, according to MLB Pipeline, was recalled from the minors in a corresponding move. His stock has fallen quite dramatically over the last couple of years, so he's not on the same caliber of pitcher that Leiter is. White will fill a swingman role for the time being for the Rangers. Starting pitcher Jordan Montgomery was officially recalled from the minors and made his Arizona and 2024 debut on Friday. The 31-year-old southpaw allowed just one run across 6 innings. Just 4 batters reached base as Montgomery struck out 3 with just 8 whiffs and a 23% CSW. Montgomery's velo was down across the board, which is somewhat alarming, but considering he didn't get the same ramp-up period as everyone else, we won't panic until we see more from him. Starting pitcher Justin Verlander was activated from the 15-day IL. He began the year on the IL with a shoulder injury. The future Hall of Famer made his season debut on Friday and looked solid. Verlander struck out 4 across 6 innings of 2-run ball, during which just 4 hitters reached base. There was a notable lack of swing and miss coming from Verlander, though. Just 4 times did a batter swing and miss, which directly resulted in a suboptimal 18% CSW for the right-hander. Let him shake off the rust a little before making any sudden decisions. But keep in mind, he's 41 years old and was a Toby last year, striking out just 21.5% of the batters he faced. And in terms of news, relief pitcher John Brebbia began a rehab assignment yesterday. He landed on the 15-day IL earlier in the season with a calf strain, but don't get too excited. Brebbia is entering a relief situation where Michael Kopech has claimed the closer role, and there are very few holds or saves to go around as the White Sox have struggled mightily this year. An MRI revealed a lack of healing in DJ LeMahieu's fractured foot. The medical team was not comfortable with him beginning a rehab assignment, and he will be reevaluated in a few days. Third baseman Rafael Devers underwent an MRI that revealed a bone bruise on his left knee. Manager Alex Cora suggested it's an injury that won't send Devers to the IL. For now, the third baseman is considered day-to-day. Outfielder Ian Happ was removed from Friday's game with right hamstring tightness. His availability for the rest of the weekend is now up in the air. Happ dealt with an injury to his other hamstring for a big chunk of spring training, so it's concerning to see it popping up again on the other side of his body. And lastly, starting pitcher Sawyer Gibson Long will undergo Tommy John surgery, and he will miss the entire 2024 campaign. He flashed some great stuff in his brief debut last year, but we'll have to wait until the second half of 2025 to see Gibson Long back on the mound. And now we'll check out the notable performances from Friday, a day in which we had 14 games as the matchup between the Mariners and the Rockies was postponed. We'll start it off with our hitters, leading off with Travis d'Arnaud, who helped the Braves to a win versus the Rangers, going 3-for-4 with 3 runs and a trio of home runs. He knocked in 6 runs along the way. His first home run traveled 429 feet with a 108.3 mile per hour exit velocity. It was the fourth furthest batted ball of the day. His second home run, even better, 440 feet, 107.1 mile per hour, and it was the furthest batted ball of the day. And then, you know, third home run, no big deal, just 433 feet with a 109.5 mile per hour exit velocity. It was the third furthest hit ball of the day. d'Arnaud went off, hitting his first 3 home runs of the season. The right-handed hitting backstop has had an everyday role behind the plate with last year's regular Sean Murphy on the IL. Murphy is yet to begin swinging in his recovery from an oblique strain, so d'Arnaud should hold on to the catcher role for at least a couple more weeks, and he could see a somewhat substantial amount of playing time even when Murphy inevitably returns if he keeps hitting like this. Despite an all-star campaign from Murphy in 2023, d'Arnaud still found his way into 74 games during which he clubbed 11 dingers. d'Arnaud is a pretty solid hitter for a catcher, but without securing an everyday role, his fantasy roster ability will be reserved for 15-team two-catcher leagues. Alec Boehm helped the Phillies to a win versus the White Sox, going 2-for-4 with a pair of home runs. He scored twice while knocking in 6 runs. His first home run traveled 353 feet with a 98-mile-per-hour exit velocity, and the second one went 400 feet with a 103.6 mile per hour exit velocity. Boehm is now up to 3 home runs on the year. Boehm barreled a pair of bombs as he looks to reverse his power output from the first few weeks. The third baseman isn't a flashy fantasy contributor, but he's proven to be a reliable option in each of the past 2 years. Still feels like Boehm could take his game to another level with an uptick in his power production, and he proved that on Friday. Boehm had been trending in the right direction in terms of his batted ball types heading into 2024. He reduced his ground ball rate every year from 2020 to 2023, which allowed his fly ball rate to soar north of a career high 33% last year. So far this year, though, Boehm has caused fantasy managers to be antsy as he's hitting more than 55% of his batted balls on the ground. Hopefully, this is just a small sample size and Friday's efforts are the end of his early struggles. Boehm should be rostered everywhere and will be the glue that keeps fantasy teams together. And lastly, we have MJ Melendez as he helped the Royals to a win versus the Orioles. He went 2-for-4 with 2 runs, a home run, and 4 runs batted in. He's up to 4 home runs on the year now. His home run traveled 424 feet with a 108.5 mile per hour exit velocity, and it was the 5th furthest batted ball of the day. And this could be the year Melendez puts his minor league success on full display at the highest level. Melendez crushed 41 home runs across AA and AAA in 2021, earning him an early season call-up the following year. That year, 2022, was intriguing given his power potential and his catcher eligibility. Melendez performed decently with 18 long balls across 129 games while hinting at plenty more potential to come. However, the sophomore slump hit him hard last year as he hit just 16 home runs despite playing in 19 more games than he did the previous year. On top of that, Melendez lost his catcher eligibility in all but standard Yahoo leagues. It meant that Melendez was really going to have to hit to earn his spot on fantasy rosters as just an outfield eligible player. So far, he's done just that, and with a burgeoning Royals lineup surrounding him, Melendez could be one of the league's best run producers in 2024. But if you'd like a breakdown of other notable hitting performances from Friday, check out the Daily Batters Box article over on pitcherlist.com. And now we'll head to the mound and check out the notable starting pitching performances from Friday. We'll open things with Spencer Turnbull, who earned the win versus the White Sox, tossing 7 scoreless innings while allowing just 1 hit and 2 walks while striking out 6. He induced 10 whiffs with 30% CSW across 92 pitches, and Turnbull has filled in admirably for Taijuan Walker during his IL stint. He's now allowed an earned run in just 1 of his 4 starts and now sports a 1.23 ERA after carrying a no-hitter into the 7th inning on Friday. All 3 of his best pitches were working in that one. His 4-seamer went for 3 whiffs and 30 37% CSW, while the Curve matched the Whiff's total and chipped in 43% CSW of its own. The Sweeper led the way, though, with four Whiffs as Turnbull took advantage of a weak White Sox lineup. That Sweeper is a new pitch for him, and he's throwing it as much as his heater while mixing in an assortment of secondary offerings. I'm not yet sure that this pitch makes Turnbull a completely different pitcher, but it's hard to argue with the results thus far. Additionally, the Sweeper looks to be legit as it sports a 96th percentile PLV, which bodes well for his continued run of success. Turnbull will head to Cincinnati on Wednesday for his next start, and while I think he can handle that lineup and is on a roll, that ballpark scares me too much to hold him until then. Jameson Taillon earned the win versus the Marlins, tossing five innings, allowing just three hits and one run. He walked no one while striking out four. Taillon induced 12 whiffs with a 33% CSW across 73 pitches, and Taillon made his season debut after starting the year on the IL with a lower back injury, and he's now somewhat intriguing in his second year in the Windy City. Taillon flashed potential as a minor leaguer and during his time in Pittsburgh. However, his struggles and devolvement into a Toby during his time in the Bronx resulted in little hype during draft season, especially after he quelled no concerns with a 4.84 ERA during his first season with the Cubs. It seems like Taillon learned a lot from that year and looks poised for a bounce-back campaign. He induced whiffs across four different pitches on Friday, with the four-seamer leading the way with five whiffs. His curve was also exceptional with three whiffs and a 41% CSW. I don't think Taillon is an auto pickup after this start, especially considering he's set to take on the Astros in his next outing, but Taillon is still someone to consider as he should be trusted to go deep into ballgames, is backed by an elite defense, and is ready to bounce back after a rough 2023. And lastly, Jack Flaherty helped the Tigers to a win in Minnesota. However, he took a no decision, tossing six innings, allowing four hits and two earned runs with one walk, but he struck out 10 batters. Flaherty induced 19 whiffs with a 39% CSW across 97 pitches, and Flaherty earned the gallows pull on Friday, leading baseball with his 19 whiffs. His curveball came alive, inducing 9 whiffs across just 24 offerings while offering a 46% CSW. Meanwhile, his fastball and slider did their thing, combining for 10 whiffs with CSW rates north of 35%. Flaherty's looked like a completely different pitcher this year. His slider has been exceptional with a 91st percentile PLV, and he's been able to showcase consistent velocity and the wherewithal to know when to dial up the heat. The most marked improvement for Flaherty has been the reduction of his walk rate. He entered the season with a career walk rate of 9.1%, but so far through four starts, he's walked just 3.9% of the batters he's faced. It's a result of Flaherty living in the zone with his fastball. He's upped the zone rate of his heater by 8%, which has afforded him the opportunity to do the opposite with his elite slider. The slider has seen a 10% jump in its rate of inducing swings out of the strike zone. Both pitches are sporting strike rates north of 70% now, and I think this new Flaherty is legit, and I'm almost ready to say he's back. We can write off his absolute disaster of a start against the A's and start Flaherty against the Rays next week. But if you'd like a breakdown of every single start from Friday, give the Plus Pitch podcast a listen and check out Nick's daily starting pitcher roundup over on pitcherlist.com. And now we'll head to the bullpen and check out the relievers that got saves and the closers that pitched outside of save situations or blew their saves. Starting with the former, Josh Hader recorded his second save of the year. He worked around a run, but got the job done. Hader has not looked like himself this year, though, receiving few save opportunities and struggling to an 8.38 ERA across his first 29 outs, 9 2/3 innings. Clay Holmes did it again, notching his 8th save, and he continues to lead the majors in that category. Jason Foley maintained his perfect ERA while securing his 6th save, and Hobie Milner got his first save of the year as the 9th inning carousel kept turning in Milwaukee. Trevor McGill covered 5 outs across the 8th and 9th, while Yoel Piamps recorded the final out of the 9th. We need a larger sample size to determine who might be next for a save. In terms of closers to pitch outside of save situations or blow their saves, Jordan Romano pitched the 9th despite a 4-run lead, and he secured the victory nonetheless. Griffin Jacks pitched the 8th in a tie game. He's clearly the high-leverage reliever, meaning it's a closer committee in Minnesota until Yoan Duran returns. And lastly, Ryan Helsley took his first loss as he allowed the zombie runner to score in the 10th inning. But if you'd like a breakdown of notable relief pitching performances from Friday, check out the Daily Reliever Ranks article over on pitcherlist.com. And before we look forward to today's games, we're going to take a quick break. And now we can look forward to Saturday, April 20th, a day in which we'll have a full slate of 16 games as there will be a doubleheader between the Marlins and the Cubs. My matchup of the day is Corbin Burnes versus Cole Ragans, and I mean, do I even need to say why? Those guys are both absolutely a joy to watch. In terms of probable starters, our auto starts tier has 11 guys, including both Burns and Reagans. We also have Zach Wheeler versus the White Sox, Zach Gallen versus the Giants in San Francisco, and Luis Castillo in Coors. Our probably starts tier has 6 guys, and that's where we'll find our streamer of the day in Reese Olson in Minnesota. He had great feel for his changeup last time out, and he should succeed if his slider is effective enough to deepen his arsenal. I'd also keep an eye out for Logan Allen in Oakland. He's a Toby, but the A's make for a fun day at the park and a great chance at a win. In terms of hitter suggestions, Rodri Munoz will be making his season debut for the Marlins. I think Cubs hitters will take advantage of the young right-hander, and on top of that, Cubs hitters will have double the chances as they'll partake in a doubleheader. And of course, the obligatory Coors stream, the Mariners are taking on Dakota Hudson, a right-handed pitcher, so target some left-handed hitting Mariners. And I will close things out with our relievers to watch. There are no closers that have been overworked recently, so expect every closer to be available today. But that'll do it for today's episode of the First Pitch Podcast. Make sure to head on over to pitcherlist.com to check out all of the great articles and features we have on the site. Join PL Pro to gain access to the Discord to interact with Pitcherlist staff and members of the community, as well as to utilize the in-season tools to help you win your leagues. That'll wrap up this edition of the podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at Jake Crumpler. Tune in tomorrow and every day for a new installment of the podcast. And make sure to enjoy the day as we are blessed with another day of baseball.
This has been the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, rate us on iTunes, follow us on Twitter at PitcherList, and help support what we do by joining our Discord with PitcherList Plus at PitcherList.com/plus.